Well, as we said, let's turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. I think we could just read it all. It's not very long. I will extol you, O Lord, for you've drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you've healed me. O Lord, you've brought me up, my soul up from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said, in my prosperity I shall never be moved. But your favour, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong, and you hid your face. I was amazed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O God, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Now this psalm shows the importance of praising God for his goodness. It's a psalm of praise, and it's very important that we understand that to be unthankful is a great sin with God. To receive kindness and goodness from God and not to notice, not to give thanks to him, that's a big sin. It amazes me the times it comes into the Bible and the unthankful, classified with the worst of sinners, in amongst murderers and those who are unthankful. So unthankfulness is a big sin. And the psalmist here has enjoyed a wonderful deliverance. The angel of destruction had come down on Israel because of his sin, because of the king's sin. King David sinned greatly. And God sent an angel to bring destruction upon him. And then God came and said, stop, angel, stop. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you can read. It was written at the end of that where the angel stopped bringing judgment. And he was filled with thankfulness. He is enjoying a wonderful deliverance now. And he recounts his blessings. And the last verse is that my glory may sing your praise and that I would not be silent. To be silent at God's goodness and delivering us from all the times that we've come out of problems and difficulties is not good. It's bad. Men are without excuse. Although they know God in his general revelations, they do not glorify him. They did not honour him as God or give thanks to him. And Romans chapter 1 says that men are without excuse. Men who are living on this earth and enjoying food and drink and clothing and warmth and the blessings of daily life. They are without excuse. And they have to honour him and give thanks to God for that. They're excuseless. You know, even when an unbeliever, a non-Christian, says, I should be thankful, but he's not a Christian and he doesn't thank God, but he knows he's enjoyed some great deliverance or he's enjoyed some great blessing. That's honouring to God, to say I should be thankful, even when a person doesn't know God. To acknowledge that he was delivered from some problem or that he's received some great blessing, I should be so thankful. That in itself God takes cognizance of. Doesn't save the soul. We need faith in Christ who died on the cross in order for us to have our soul saved. But we have to, to be totally silent, not to be silent. I will give thanks. And not be silent in verse 12. And not be silent when we are receiving blessing. It's very bad. It's wrong. when men completely reject the possibility of a God above ordering providence and delivering them from tragedy or difficulty in the car or wherever, or from disease that's going around and that we're escaped from it, when we don't acknowledge a God above, that is very serious. It's in such wonderful deliverances from what others are experiencing, but we're not. That is when we ought to develop our faith and trust in God. Now, in this psalm, we have David resolving to praise God forever. Verses 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. David was counting his blessings. Throughout the psalm, he enumerates specific things. You have brought my soul from Sheol, from the grave. You see, people were falling dead around them in the destruction that the angel were destroying Israel. Israel, the angel of the Lord had come and was bringing judgment on Israel, and they were lying dead. But you have delivered my soul from the grave. I haven't been dead. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Verse 3. You've given me my life back, as it were. But the others haven't. Lord, I want to thank you. You haven't taken my life. I'm spared. You made my mountain stand strong by my love. You've healed me. You've turned my mourning to dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth. You've taken away the signs of mourning and sadness. And it's also that my glory, that all that's happening to me, may result in singing your praise and in not being silent. And I will give you thanks forever, he says. Six times David mentions what the Lord has done for him. It's important that we spell out in detail the different things for which we should be thankful. We give thanks over a meal when we've got food. We should give thanks when we realise we've got things that other people do not have. David here spells out in detail these different circumstances in connection with that one event. Six times he mentions what Lord has done for him in a specific way. And so you and I should thank God when we get our house sold that we needed to have sold, when we get a rise in our salaries, when we get a good result from our biopsy test, when we pass an exam, when we get a job, whatever. These are things we must specifically thank God for, because he is behind it all. God is behind all these things. And to refuse to acknowledge God behind the secondary means, the cause of the secondary causes that God sends, it's a big failure on our part, and we will lose. To deny, to refuse to acknowledge God is to deny God. To refuse to acknowledge God in his mercies, in all the good things that he gives us, is to deny God. There are times when God sends people to help us. He sends them unexpectedly. God sends people to help us. And he sends angels. And sometimes we don't know. In the Bible, you know, people didn't. Every angel had a form of a man. Form of a man. It just looked like a man. And there are times when people that we don't know perhaps have helped us, and it's God that has sent them. They're angels. They are. Remember what God said, that angels are ministering spirits. They're ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Are not all angels ministering spirits? Yes, they are. And God sends people in your life and my life to do special things and to help us in different situations. And when someone comes and helps us, I hope we all realize that it was God that sent that person. You are important, I'm important. And so he sends special people, and maybe sometimes angels, to help us. David is also very grateful because he prayed for help at this time. He prayed for help, and God answered his prayer positively. I cried to you for help, and you healed me, in verse 2. In the midst of this judgment, I was in prayer, and I asked you to save me, to help me, and to bless me. And he was protected and healed and restored. God does take note of our prayers. And so often we don't realize sometimes how he has answered our prayers. We've forgotten about the prayer ourselves. So it's so important that we keep praying when we are in difficult positions and things don't look good. Now David is able to give thanks to God that his enemies were not able to rejoice over him. You did not let my foes rejoice over me. That's something which David feared. In that culture, it was so important that people didn't mock Israel because of their sin, because of their folly. For people to mock someone else, it was a big disgrace. And the people of God, Israel, were concerned that their enemies, when they got into trouble and when God was not helping Israel because they were wicked, then they became very... they were concerned that they would be laughed at and that people would, oh, look at God, this is, I thought this was a great nation that could do everything. But that was a very... something that David really worried very much about, and he thanked God that on this occasion that did not happen. You did not let my foes rejoice over me. David often prayed that his enemies would not gloat over his misfortunes. And so when you and I enjoy particular blessings, it's good to thank God for the things we were afraid might happen, but that he didn't. That was God hearing our silent prayers, and we must ensure that we remember to give thanks to God. Now in verse 4, David asks his fellow believers to come and join with him in thanksgiving. Sing praises to the Lord. Oh, you, he sings. Listen, every one of you who believe in the Lord, come and let's sing praises. Let's sing praises together to the Lord. You know, most people, when they celebrate, call their friends together and they uncork a bottle, usually. Well, David calls people together and come, let's worship God. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And David gathered together and called upon his colleagues and his friends to rejoice that God's judgment has ended and that we are going to be blessed once again. Ask for a time of prayer and a time of thanks. Now David was a man of great experience of life. He had many highs and lows from his earliest childhood. David was a man of experience. There wasn't many experiences that people go through that David did not go through. Killing a bear, killing a lion, it wouldn't have been simple. He would have to struggle. He probably got cut and bruised. But he managed to kill the bear and he managed to kill the lion. And he was victorious. But it would have been difficult. But he was delivered out of it. And God calls us to go through difficult times. But we can be victorious, although we may be injured and hurt. He killed Goliath. He was hunted by King Saul. Up and down the country, he was hunted and hounded. And he had to hide in a cave. He knew what it was to have a life full of wide-ranging and varied experiences. Yet he could say in all honesty, what we have in verse 5, his anger is but for a moment, and his favour for a lifetime. Isn't that wonderful? His anger is but for a moment. God's judgments are not long, but his favour for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for a night, in the morning, a new day, joy comes in the morning. Verse 5. This is David's overall universal statement about his life with God. David lived with God. David walked with God. He was the man after God's own heart. And he had highs and lows. He had tremendous problems, tremendous blessings. But overall, this is what he says about life with God. Problems are for a moment. Blessings are forever. Do you agree with him? Do you agree with him? He's saying life is wonderful with God. Life is wonderful with God. Now God's not pretending it's wonderful. He's not pretending life is good with God. He really is enjoying it. And he's written psalms about how wonderful it is better than gold and fine gold. To have the Lord's favour and the Lord's blessing is better than riches. All kinds of riches. He knows what it's like to be full. He knows what it's like to be empty, to be rich, to live in a cave. In the midst of all the blows he got, he can say, in the way of your testimonies, walking in your ways, Lord, I delight as much as in all riches. In Psalm 119, he says so many things like that. God's providences are more to be desired than gold. Now, not many people will say that, honestly. But David does. David does. More to be desired. Your ways, your providences, your blessing, your favour is more to be desired than gold. And David was not exaggerating when he said these things. He was truly happy in the Lord. Are you? Even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of grief, you can have real happiness. Knowing God is with you in it. I know people right now who are locked up and can't move a limb, enjoying the presence of God. And just move her lips, no more. And enjoying God's presence. They were able to communicate joy, pleasure, satisfied. If we are truly thankful to God for what we have, if we acknowledge God as the giver of every good and perfect gift that we have, when you do that, you're likely to get more of God's blessings. If we fail to acknowledge what we already have, that the good things we have is from God. If we don't acknowledge that, we will not be blessed further. But if we do acknowledge it, you see, God gives more grace to the humble. To be humble is to recognize you have, you receive what you don't deserve. To be humble is to know that you're unworthy, that you don't deserve what you're getting. And to the humble, the person who walks softly and thankfully and gratefully to God, he'll give more grace. He'll give more blessings. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. In Psalm 107, we read so much there about all the different kind of people that is to bless God and to praise him for his unfailing love. And he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The humble person is the person who is truly thankful, knowing he is undeserving. The person who is already exercising the grace of humility will get more and more. So if you and I, as we will do, no doubt, being sinners, and not cleansed completely and totally from sin, if we're feeling empty, if we're feeling dissatisfied, you and I have a duty to recognize and to try our best to recognize all God's goodness to us. To recognize and to count our blessings. As the hymn goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. You see, name them, specify them. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. God has done great things for us, and because we're so used to it, His mercies are renewed every morning. We're so used to it and accustomed to it, we don't give thanks to it. Be careful. Always acknowledge God's goodness, that we have food and drink, warmth, and we're friends, and all these simple things. They're not so simple. And when they're taken away from you, you realise they're not so simple. They're great blessings. And it's important for us to thank God. You and I, and those of us who live here in the Western world, we have many, many blessings. God could have brought you and could have brought me to be one of those little children scrambling for a grain of ice in Ethiopia or Sudan or somewhere in the Orient where there are famines and droughts and tremendous problems. But we have our lot where there's enough and to spare. We've got social services to help us with the very needs. We have to thank God for that. We must thank God for it and acknowledge God. Lord, you brought me up here. I could have been born anywhere. To any family, in any situation. The people have been born in drought conditions. But not you. Not me. Who regulated, who determined the bounds of our habitation, where we would live? God. We must not be silent. Do not be silent in giving thanks to God. Now, all kinds of people should give thanks to God. All kinds of people. Not just good people, wicked people, bad people. All creation. All with life, animals, all the eyes of all look to you, we read in Psalm 145. All the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. One of the things that really worries me about our own nation and government is the lack of acknowledging God. Whatever happens, whatever pressures, whatever circumstances come, God's just not in it. There is no God. It's just us. Without a divine controller over all things. It really worries me. God is not in all our thoughts. God is not in any of their thoughts, as it was said about the people in Noah's day. We congratulate ourselves when things go well. We only congratulate ourselves as if it wasn't God's help, helping us and enlightening us, strengthening us, providing for us. God's in everything. Without God, my friends, we have nothing. We have nothing. God is over all, and we are a prosperous nation still. We have many blessings through God's goodness. Through God's goodness. Now the Psalms are full of commands to all classes of people to give thanks to God for his wide range of mercies. In Psalm 107 that we read, on the sea, on the land, there's causes and reasons to give thanks to God. Even the heathen are to give thanks to God. Even fools through their folly and their sin are to give thanks to God. Fools give thanks to God. Heathen who don't know God are to give thanks to God. When men, even unbelievers, acknowledge the divine being, however ignorantly, that's pleasing to God. However ignorantly people may say, I should be thankful and I'm grateful. But oh, how we should think seriously about it and realize there is a God who has deliberately blessed us. Who has deliberately blessed us. We need to acknowledge God's mercies every day. To thank God for his mercies has a reward. It has a reward. As we said it does not save us. We need more than to acknowledge God as the giver of every good. We need to acknowledge that we are sinners before him, and that his greatest mercy was sending his son to die and to pay the price of the sins of the whole world, so that anyone in the world to come and find everlasting life. That's where salvation is, to put our trust and our hope in that event of Jesus dying. But to acknowledge him has a reward in life. Now, very often we hear complaints, and you and I have complained, as Asaph did in Psalm 73, at the prosperity of the wicked. Why does God bless these people? These people who are wicked. Now, you read it. You read about famous people. You read about rich people and their corrupt dealings. And they get more and more riches. They get more and more blessings, as it were. And we wonder why. Well, there's two different types of responses to that providence. Why the rich prosper. Psalm 73 is Asaph, the godly man, in David's temple, singing, and a musician, and he's saying he's really upset at the prosperity of wicked people. They have more and more. Their eyes are full of fat and more than their hearts could wish. Now, we see it in the press daily. One of the responses, there's two different responses to it. One of the responses, to deny the whole existence of a God, because that happens. And that was the case with Bertrand Russell, the atheist. That was one of the reasons he could not believe in Christianity. Because the wicked prospered. Because the wicked prospered. And some of the good people were dealt harshly in life's providence. And that was one. That is one reaction to that providence. That we do deny the existence of God. The other reaction is to realise that it can be a great blessing. God's goodness can be a great means of further blessing to us. Listen to what God through Paul says in writing to the Romans. Do you Romans presume on the riches of his kindness and his forbearance and his patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness is meant to lead us to further faith, to believe in him, and to repent of our unworthiness, of our sinfulness. You and I have enough and to spare, really. We have enough and to spare, really. Kindness of God, there's many people that don't have it. Maybe through their own folly, but who give you wisdom? Who give you opportunity to get what you have? And me? Are we presuming? Are we not treating God's kindness in a proper way? Do we not know that his kindness is meant to lead us to repent of our sins and to say, Lord, I'm not worthy of all this kindness and all this goodness. Thank you for it, Lord. I'm not worthy. That spirit is a blessed spirit. It's a beautiful thing to see people, you know, rejoicing over another person's good fortune. It's lovely to see someone happy about someone else's happiness, about someone else's good fortune, even although that person's wicked, even although that person doesn't deserve it. Instead of grumbling, instead of complaining, they're thankful. They're rejoicing. Rejoice with those who rejoice, even if they're wicked. Having a good heart, having a gracious heart, realizing, as far as I'm concerned, I've nothing to complain about. God's been good to me. God has been good to me. That's what the grace of God does. It makes a man kind-hearted. It makes a man rejoice in someone else's joy and happiness. We were created to be happy. We were created to rejoice and be glad. So we spoiled everything. And we've got difficulties now, and we've got a corrupt nature and a corrupt understanding, and we need that all cleansed, and we need all that to be forgiven. But for you and I, We should be so thankful for all the good things that we have, and let us be sure that we do give thanks to God, that we confess our sin and that we are unworthy. Well, let's just read these two verses at the end to finish. You have turned for me my mountain into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. That, in order that my glory, what's happened to me, the good things that I have, that I may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And may God bless his word to us. Let's have a few moments of silence as we ask God to make us truly thankful.